Thank you, Matt. Appreciate your ministry of music today. I want to invite you all to Wednesday prayer meeting this coming Wednesday night from 7 to 7:45. We're looking forward to another time together where we can exalt the name of the Lord as we come for prayer and worship and call upon the name of the Lord. Just come as you are. If you have to come in late, it's okay. Come to pray, standing, kneeling, walking, however you want to pray. We'll lead you in different segments, but it's a great time for the family to be together in prayer. We'll have activities planned for your children, fourth grade and down, fifth graders and up. We encourage them to be in the prayer meeting with you and just be a part of that. One of the greatest things we can do for our kids and our grandkids is to let them see us pray. Amen? Is to let them see us pray so that they know that we believe in prayer, because prayer makes an incredible difference. So hopefully you can come. It's a delightful time just as we come into the presence of the Lord and just accept that invitation that the Lord says to call on me, and I'll be there for you. We're back from a great convention. Thank you for your prayers. We had safe journeys there and back. And I think I only had to be buzzered once with the TSA folks, who do a fine job. The gentleman's, I threw some alert on. It was going. And so it showed a picture of me. He says, sir, are you okay if I just do this right here? And I said, sure, no problem. He says, now, and he starts putting on his gloves, so I know what that means. If it was my doctor, I'd have been over, but hey, it's not. So put on his gloves and said, I'm going to have to, and he explained what he was going to have to do, and he said, we can take you in a separate room, and I thought, there's no way you're going to get me in a room. Not with those gloves on, no way. And so he said, well, look at the picture, and I looked back, and there was a couple hot spots in my body. And I won't tell you where they were, but they were not from here up or here down. And I says, go to it, buddy. And there, and so he did it all and says, you're good to go, sir. Thank you. And I said, thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate it. And as I walked, and Cheryl's waiting, she never gets caught. Coming back, she went through and beeped it. And the guy standing there said, it's probably that beautiful necklace that you have on. Can you take that off? She says, well, he said, oh, no, just go. Just go. I get the frisking, but she can just go. But as I was walking away from my frisking, I looked at her and said, you have one hot husband. We had a great convention. Our speakers were wonderful. Our prayer times that we have as pastors from all over the world, coming together, spending time in prayer before the convention starts every morning in prayer, is just an incredible time. So thank you for praying for us, and thank you for the Lord's blessings. I'd like you to turn this morning to the eighth chapter of Luke. We were there last week and talked about the parable of the sower. I want to go a little deeper into this chapter and begin in verse 22 to verse 25. This morning I want to talk on this subject. When things go wrong, embrace the right. When things go wrong, embrace the right. Luke chapter 8, starting at verse 22. How many know things will go wrong? Anybody here got a witness for that? Things will go wrong. That is the human condition. That's the most well-laid plans of mice and men, the novelist said. So things will go wrong, but when they go wrong, embrace the right. Embrace the right way, the right answer, the right person in Jesus Christ. Embrace the Master, and He will have opportunity. Things are going wrong today in our nation, in our world. Things are going right, but things are going wrong. And I believe what people need to do is embrace the right things, right? And violence is not the right thing. And calling each other names is not the right thing. and everything we see. But thank God that a right thing happened just a couple days ago when Pastor Brunson was released from a Turkish prison. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Amen. A man certainly unjustly imprisoned for his faith. And that's really what it boiled down to, was religious persecution. But I appreciate our administration and their efforts to free him. And I love the picture that showed up as he met with President Trump, as Pastor Brunson thanked him and then got on his knees and laid his hands on our president and prayed for him. What a great picture that was. Amen? In some nations of the world, he could have been arrested for that very thing. But anyway, when things go wrong, embrace the right. Starting in verse 22 of Luke chapter 8. Now it happened on a certain day, as most things do that go wrong. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. And he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. So far, so good. And where are they going? Verse 26. They're going to the land of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. Jesus has an appointment with a demon-possessed man. They don't know that, the disciples, but Jesus does. He's going to deliver him. And a whole lot of pigs are going to die. But that's another time. We'll talk about that. But on a certain day, they got into a boat, and he said, "Let's go to the other side." And so they launched out. Verse 22. So far, so good. Verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus slept. The Bible tells us that God never sleeps nor slumbers. But Jesus, because he was both God and man, grew tired, grew weary, and would spend time sleeping. That was the human side of him. Understand now, God never sleeps. Amen? He doesn't need to. He's God. He's awake. And as one gentleman fondly said years ago, one of our former Bible teachers, if he's going to stay awake all night, there's no reason I have to. And so I'm just going to go to sleep. But he fell asleep, verse 23, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and we're in danger, we're in jeopardy. It's not unusual for these winds to come up suddenly, and when it says that this windstorm came down on the lake, that is literally what they do. The winds, the swirling winds, in the deserts they call them the Scirocco winds, they came and just literally they swoop down. They get into that motion of downward, and the waves come up so suddenly, the boat begins to fill with water. And they were in danger. Verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. When things go wrong, turn to the right. They did the right thing. And he said to them, verse 25, "Where is your faith?" Now he had just taught them about the sower and the seed, and about letting seed be sown into the good soil of their heart, and how that would increase exponentially if they would just let that seed go and let it grow in their heart. And now, here's an example for them to do that, to allow that word of the Lord, the seed of the Lord, to really grow. And so, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? Who can this be?" They knew who he was. But this rhetorical question, "Who can this be? For he commands, and even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Another version of the story says that Jesus said, "Be quiet." And the Greek word for quiet in that passage literally means to be muzzled, like a rabid dog, to be muzzled. As Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, "Be muzzled." So what we have here is this incredible story of a miracle that takes place on this body of water, on this lake, where Jesus is going to teach his disciples that when things go wrong, they need to embrace the right. And things will go wrong. Yesterday, Cheryl and I decided that we would go to lunch. I was here at the church, and she was at home, and so I called her and said, are you coming in to town? And if you are, I'll wait for you, and we can go to lunch together. And so she said, I'll be there in about half an hour. So she came, and we weren't quite sure where we were going to go. So usually when that happens, I just start heading out of town. Men will appreciate this. I just start heading out of town. And as I'm driving, she looks over and smiles and said, where are we going? I said, I really don't know. But look at all these beautiful colors, all the trees. And so she said, okay. And so we started looking at all the colors, and I just kept going. I had no idea where we were going. And we got down to I-5, and I had to decide, are we going to go towards Seattle or are we going to go toward Portland? Well, it was Saturday, and I had to get ready for the message, and so I thought, well, we'll just go toward Portland. And so we took that turn around, and as we're driving, she says, okay, because usually we'll take that first 205 and eat somewhere in there. And I went right past it, and she says, so have you decided yet where we're going? I said, no, not yet. Look at those trees, though. Aren't those beautiful? Those beautiful colors. And so we traveled, and we're getting closer to the interstate bridge. And I said, what kind of gift cards do we have? What kind of gift cards do we have? might as well make this an economical lunch. Because frankly, convention took all the money. So she started looking, and sure enough, we had some gift cards for a Cracker Barrel, a gift from one of the families here that attends Second Service. And they know we love that place, and there's a new one at Jansen Beach. And so I said, well, is it open? She said, yeah, it's open. So we went, had a wonderful little lunch, early dinner at Cracker Barrel, and then I looked over and I saw a Ross sign. And boy, when you see a Ross sign and Cheryl's with you, it's like, get me there. Get me there now. Because that's where she buys all those wonderful little baby gifts for all these old ladies in the church, the ladies in the church that have babies. She is constantly buying baby outfits. Anyway, I'm rambling. Have you noticed? I got to sleep last night at 3:30 in the morning, so this could be a fun sermon. Okay, I'm going to get to my point. So I took her to Ross and let her do her ministry in there. And I'm sitting out reading my Bible. And I noticed two men and a woman having a lively conversation. They were young folks, probably Anthony, about you and, what's your name, Haley? Sorry. Haley's age. And they were having a lively conversation. And I thought, I wonder if they're witnessing to them. And then I said, no, it's not that. And then they come over toward my van, and I see they look into a car, and suspicious mind that I have, I thought, are they going to try to break into that car? Are these like criminals? And I said, no, don't think the worst. Turn to the right, right? And so they walked back over, and they left. And as they left, I thought, I wonder where they're going. All four of them, now there's two ladies, two men, and they get in the car, and I said, I wonder where they're going. And then they got back, and when they got back, they had a package with two knives in it. And they walked back over to the car. And I said, oh, I'm going to close my Bible. This, and then it dawned on me, they had locked their keys in the car. And they were trying to get in. And master break-in guy that I am, I got out of the car and I said, are you kids needing some help here? And they said, yeah, we locked the keys in the car. And I said, well, let me help. And I just happened to have a coat hanger in the car. And I didn't have all my van, so I didn't have all my tools for really getting in. And so I finally found the car I couldn't get into because it didn't have all my tools. I tried for an hour helping them get in there. And while I'm doing that, Cheryl's talking to these kids, these girls. How you doing? What's your name? Where you live? Da, da, da. She found out more about them. And the two guys are just hoping. And finally, They had a friend that has a tow truck, and so they called him and asked him if he'd come and what he'd charge him, and said, I'd charge him $50 to get your keys. But I'm desperately trying, and I'm thinking, boy, this car, I can't do it, because I don't have my tools, right? Some of you are looking at me like, why do you have tools to break in cars? It's because out in that parking lot, you don't know how many times we've had to rescue keys. So let me get to the end of the story. Things went wrong. Things went wrong. I couldn't get it open. I apologized. I said, kids, I'm sorry. Cheryl told me later, she said, do you realize those four kids were going to church? That's it, where they were headed. They were headed to a Saturday night service. It was the only night one young lady had for a babysitter. They were headed to church. I didn't know that. And so we're doing this, and they asked, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, you're a pastor. Well, the long story short is this. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it open. The tow truck driver came up, and he smiled at me as if to say, you idiot. Why didn't you just call me in the first place? And he went over, and in like 30 seconds, he was in, had the car open. I took my coat hanger back, and I took $50 out of my wallet, unbeknownst to these kids. And when the tow truck driver was ready to leave, I said, here's, he said, what's that? I said, how much are you going to charge the kids? He said, $50. I said, here's the 50. And he said, really? And I said, yeah, here's the 50. I don't want those kids to have to pay that. And that's about what I had in my wallet. And he hugged me. Big burly guy. He hugged me. And I hugged him. And I turned around, and the young man, was almost a tear in his eye. He said, thank you. And I heard one of the girls say, see, there are good people still in this world. And we're all hugging. We're all hugging. We're all hugging. And I didn't do anything that you wouldn't have done. I didn't do anything that you wouldn't have done. When things go wrong, you embrace the right. The right thing for me to do was to pay for those kids to get in that car. If I couldn't do it, then it was only right. And I did. Now, I may never see those kids again. I may never see them again. But somewhere along the line, those kids will repay that. They will help somebody else. Because when things go wrong, and they will, we need to embrace the what? The right thing to do. Now, I took a long time to tell that story, because this is a short sermon, and I don't want to let you out too soon. Let's recap. Verse 22. Let's cross over to the other side. Let's get in a boat. A miracle is waiting. The disciples don't know that, but Jesus does. He is at appointment with a man who is demon-possessed with a legion of demons. With a legion of demons. And this demoniac lives among the catacombs of the area, of the graveyard. Another version says that he howls at night because of the torment that he has in his body because of the possession of the demons. These demons will speak through this man. And when Jesus arrives on that shore, the demons will cry out and say, don't send us to the pit. Don't send us. We're going to end up there eventually. They know that. But they said, don't send us to the pit. And the story says there was a great number of swine there, and they begged, please send us into the swine, because there's no way Jesus is going to let those demons go into any other person. So he allowed them, he commanded them. They went into the swine, and the swine went crazy. This herd of swine, this herd of pigs with this presence of demonic power inside of them went berserk and ran over the cliff and died. But think of it, those same demons in that man. That man was tormented by them, but he did not die. Because the devil wants to torment as long as he can and drive us to death. But Jesus would have none of it with this man. Jesus spoke the word, and all he said is, what is your name? They said, Legion, because we are many. And then he said, get out of him. And they left him. Hallelujah. That is the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. When things go wrong, turn to the right. Why was that man demon-possessed? Verse 26 on the whole story. We don't know that. We don't know why he was in that condition. We don't know what he did. We don't know anything about it. All we know is that he was delivered. And if you read that story, when he is delivered, he says, Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. Because he knew Jesus was his hope. He was his deliverer. He was the one that loved him enough to care about him and take a boat trip across a dangerous body of water. Jesus came over for just that one man. How many know Jesus will come over hell and high water just for one person? Because he loves us. Amen. He loves us. So he said to the man, no, don't follow me. No, you go home. You get restored. You go back to your family. You tell them all the good things that God has done for you. You go back and be a testimony. And so the Bible says in verse 39 that he returned to his house and he went about proclaiming the whole city what great things Jesus had done. He became an evangelist, telling the good news that Jesus Christ is able. Look at me. He can deliver me. He can deliver anybody. Hallelujah. What a tremendous story of when things go wrong, you embrace the right. Getting back to verse 22, they were headed that way, but it almost appears like some supernatural power. Maybe it was the enemy, we didn't know. Maybe it was just bad weather day. Who knows? We can't always decide why things go wrong. You know, we'll drive ourselves crazy if we keep trying to evaluate and figure out, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Why did this happen? We can just go crazy with that, amen? So it's better when things go wrong, turn to the right. Turn to Jesus, as the disciples did, and say, Master, Master, we're perishing. We need your help. That's the thing we ought to do, instead of trying to figure out why it happened. And so let's cross over, because there's a miracle waiting to happen on the other side. Look at verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Why did he fall asleep again? Because he was tired. Jesus was both God and man. And the man side of him grew tired, and so he went to sleep. Went to sleep. And as he went to sleep, the windstorm came down. They were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy, or they were in danger. It's a serious thing on those lakes. These sudden windstorms. And that's what happens with us sometimes. We're just sailing along at a good clip. Everything's going fine. And all of a sudden, something goes wrong. Something goes wrong. We're driving along and we have a flat tire. And there's never a good time to have a flat tire. Amen? Never a good time to have a flat tire. But I think there's a reason to do. All things work together for good. Or we're driving along, we look down, and we realize we forgot to get gas in our van last night. And the reading said, you have 20 miles before you run out of gas, or whatever. Things go wrong. And so this storm came up, and they were in danger. A lot of things can happen to us as we live for the Lord. Just because you are a follower of Christ doesn't mean that some things aren't going to happen to you. They will. You don't ask for them. Sometimes it's our own fault, but a lot of times it's nothing that we've done. But sometimes when that happens, we want to blame God. We want to say, why'd you let this happen to me? Why'd you do this? And God in his love and his patience allows us to say that. But at the end of the day, God will not forsake us when things go wrong. But instead, what we ought to do when things go wrong is embrace the right. Look at verse 24. And they came to him and they woke him up. And they said to him, Master, Master, we are perishing. And they were right. They were right. In their mind, they were going to die. That storm was going to swamp the ship. It was filling with water. I'm sure they were bailing with all they could. With all they could. Maybe you felt that way before. Maybe your little proverbial boat of your life has been hit with a windstorm and the water's pouring in and you're bailing like crazy, but it's not helping. You feel like you're going under. Don't raise your hands, but how many in your heart can say, I've had times like that? I didn't know what we were going to do physically. I didn't know what we were going to do spiritually. I didn't know what we were going to do. We were going under. Our boat was sinking. What do you do when things go wrong? You embrace the right. You go to Jesus because he's the right way. Amen? He's the answer. And that's what they did. They went to him. They woke him up and said, Master, Master. And it's not just an accident, I believe, that they called him Master, because that's the way they considered him. They believed that he was their master, and he could help them. Now, does it mean Jesus could bail water faster than they could? No. Does it mean that he could just suddenly make the boat be on the other side? Well, maybe. But notice he didn't do that. Instead, he spoke at the source of the problem. He spoke to the winds and the waves. He didn't do some magical trick to get the boat out of danger. He spoke to the winds and the wave, because that was the problem, was the wind and the wave. And he spoke to that. And when you and I face something where things go wrong, we need to remember, through Jesus, to speak to the source of the problem. If you're having problems with your children or your grandchildren, speak to the source of the problem. The problem is the enemy that wants to take them out. Speak to the source of the problem. When we look at our nation today and we see the problems that we're facing and the heads that are butting in Washington, D.C., the liberals and the conservatives and the Democrats and the Republicans and the right and the left, and we see all that going on, let's remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but our battle against principalities and powers in high places. It is the wickedness of this world that is causing this turmoil. And what we need to come against is not each other, but against the power of the enemy, and rebuke him in Jesus' name and pray peace on our nation. Peace on our nation. Now we can do something tangibly. This week you will get a ballot in the mail. You that are our registered voters will get a ballot in the mail. You've probably already got your voter's guide. I encourage you, please, read through it. Look at the different information. Look at the candidates. And as I do every year, vote your values. Ignore the D and the R and vote for those who hold your values of life and marriage and what it means to live for the Lord. Vote candidates that are close to your values, and that can make a difference. Amen? That can make a difference. Don't just let that little ballot sit there and think, oh, I forgot. No, take it out. Get it ready. Vote early. But do that which we have a freedom to do in this nation. When things go wrong, embrace the right. Master, Master, we are perishing. And that was true with their vantage point, but not with the Lord's. Look at verse 24 again. And he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. How many like the calm times? Am I the only one? I love the calm times. I used to say, and I'm almost embarrassed I say this, we used to go through, you know, we'd go through calm times, and I'd look at Cheryl and go, uh-oh. She'd say, what's wrong? I said, it's been calm way too long. I just got a feeling. I am a great man of faith, am I not? I just got a feeling. Now, it didn't always happen, no, but I like the calm times, you know? When I was younger, I loved the, you know, let's take it on. You know, now that I've gotten older and wiser and smarter, calm down, amen? Nothing's terminal. Come on, just calm down. Amen? Everyone say that with me. Calm down. Turn to someone beside you. Say, calm down. Calm down. Okay, calm down. Wait till we get home, then you can panic. But calm down. There was a calm. But how many know today the calm came because Jesus was in the boats and he spoke to the winds and the waves. And I want to tell you, that is the reason we can have calm in the midst of a storm. We can have calm in our hearts And maybe the winds and the waves are raging all about you right now. But you can have a calmness in your spirit that comes knowing the Lord of glory is on your side. Praise God. As long as you're on my boat, Jesus, I know things will be okay. Absolutely. There was a calm. And lastly, look at verse 25. Who can this be? Who can this be? Well, the answer to that, obviously, is Jesus. Who can this be? Let me close with reading to you a passage from the Old Testament that has been read many times, but let me reiterate it before we're dismissed. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. The book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. It's easier to look on the screen. I see everyone looking up and no one looking down at your Bible. Habakkuk, I didn't even know there was a book called Habakkuk in the Bible. No, Habakkuk. The nation of Judah is done. They have sinned against God constantly. They have rejected the Lord's mercy. And God is going to bring judgment on the nation. That's what the book of Habakkuk is about. God will use the Babylonians to invade Judah, and judgment will come. Eventually, that judgment will lift, captivity will be dismissed, and the people will be free. But right now, they have turned their back on God. And I want to tell you right now, we need to pray that America will turn back to the Lord. Because the last thing I want is for God to have to use judgment upon this nation. But I believe as long as God's people continue to cry out to God in prayer meetings all around this nation of ours, I believe God will hold his hand as long as he believes God's people are serious. Amen? Because if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear from heaven and God will send revival. So the Babylonians will invade, judgment is coming, and Habakkuk, and this is what's interesting to me, the name Habakkuk is a Hebrew name that probably literally means one who embraces, one who embraces. When things go wrong, embrace the right. That's what Habakkuk did. In what I'm about to read you, Habakkuk says, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why, God, but I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to embrace the God I don't understand. Listen to his words. Chapter 3, verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fall, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, that's things going wrong. Habakkuk says, everything's going to go wrong. However, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. What's he doing? He's embracing the right. He's embracing the God he may not understand, but he's embracing that God anyway. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. I'm going to embrace the right when things go wrong. And that's what we have to do, my friend. When things go wrong in our life, in our family, in our jobs, in our circumstances, embrace Jesus. Say, Master, Master, we're perishing. You help us. And I guarantee you, Jesus will be there to help you. Amen? Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a clap offering today, would you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Would you stand as I close in prayer this morning? Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power of story. Thank you for the power of the story that we have been given by Luke about how you calmed the winds and the waves and the disciples embraced you. Thank you for the story of the demoniac of the Gadarenes and how after deliverance he embraced you. Thank you for Habakkuk, and in the midst of a nation that was to be judged, he embraced you. Thank you, O God, that we can embrace you. No matter how old or young we are, when things go wrong, we can embrace the right way, the right truth, the right answer, the right one, and that is Jesus. Be with each one this morning. I don't know who's going through what. I don't doubt that there are a few folks here today that, and maybe more than a few, that are going through some rough waters of their own. And Lord, I just pray that they would just reach out and, as Habakkuk's name means, they would embrace you, Lord. They would embrace the Lord and embrace and say, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to hold on. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to embrace Jesus. Maybe there's someone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. Maybe they've heard this message in the sermon and they thought, boy, I'm going through something like that right now. Can I embrace Jesus? Oh, Lord, yes. Help them to reach out and say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to come and forgive me of my sins. Help me to be a follower of Christ. I want to embrace you, Lord, because I believe, as that preacher said, that you're the answer, and I want that answer to be part of my life. Father, thank you that we've been able to be together in church this morning. And as we dismiss the folks now to their afternoon, Lord, help them to enjoy time with family, friends, or even if they're going to be by themselves, help them to know that they are with the Lord and Jesus is there. And maybe just spend some time looking at the beauty of your creation and count all of these beautiful colors as just another miracle of God's creation, and be close to you today, I pray. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful afternoon. Visit with someone before you leave. And just have a great day. We'll see you next Wednesday night if you can make it to prayer meeting.